Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. Controversial curriculum in Kentucky's public schools has been a hot topic in 2023, especially since the state legislature banned gender ideology and LGBT promotion in K-12 public schools. The pushback against inappropriate content has been led by parents, including Miranda Stovall, who took a stand against pornographic material in Jefferson County Public Schools last year. And joining us to talk further is Miranda, who is the co-founder of The Freedom in Education. Miranda, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, it is so good that you are joining us and sharing your story about engaging the public schools. So there's a history here. You didn't just wake up one day and said, I think I'm going to start a new organization. We crossed paths, by the way, just a couple weeks ago at an education forum. There was a community discussion, if you will, on the topic of education freedom in Jefferson County Public Schools. And I knew of you, heard your name come up before, and we struck up a conversation there. And it really came to my attention afresh of your involvement with Jefferson County Public Schools when you learned that pornographic books were made available to children in the public schools.
Yeah.
I want you to tell us about that. And first of all, how did you learn about that?
You know, I'm not exactly sure how I learned about these books. I think there was multiple parents going around, you know, you see it on the internet, you see the little videos and stuff. And somebody had mentioned to me that they knew these books were in Jefferson County schools, Jefferson County Public Schools. And I was like, well, I'll look into it and, you know, check it out and see. And I searched their online catalogs. Anybody in the public can get into their online catalogs through their website and look what's in their catalogs. And I wasn't finding any. So I was hopeful. I was like, oh, well, maybe this isn't an issue for us. That's good. And then I decided, you know, let me just be really sure, because some of these books are very pornographic in nature. And for minor children to have access to these, especially without their parents' knowledge, is just...
Can I jump in and interrupt? Actually, just to put a finer point on what you're saying about pornographic in nature, we had a candidate running for the state Senate, who you know, that brought a copied off page, which it was written in cartoon type form, but it was about minors and adults performing sex acts. And the reason this candidate brought this into us was there was a call to action on one side. It was calling parents to come to a school board meeting. And of course, having this material there to show exactly what was being made available in the schools was alarming. Mm-hmm. You couldn't make this stuff up. And this is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the book?
Well, the one I disputed was Gender Queer. It's a graphic novel, and it does have very vivid pictures of certain acts in the book. There's nudity at one point. There's a picture of the authors fantasizing about certain things. And it's obviously a grown man touching a young boy.
Very graphic, very inappropriate. Yes. And so you did research and you found that what the book was about, and then you confirmed that it was in the public schools.
I did. And I confirmed that through open records requests. I decided, let's just go ahead and make sure before I go public with this that I can't be made out to be crazy or something like that. So yes, I confirmed through open records requests that there was 5 books that I was looking into that were in, and actually they were in our middle schools when I first did this open records request. Children as young as 11.
How long did it take for them to fulfill that open records request?
Oh gosh, I want to say it was probably a week or more.
So fairly quick.
Fairly quick, yes.
They weren't dragging their
but they did go on the, they knew what was coming, so.
And this was this 2021, 2022?
Yeah, 2021.
So you discovered that pornographic books were made available in Louisville's middle schools, and then what was your next step?
I went to a couple of our school board members. I sent them information, I sent them an email, and I said, did you know that this is in our schools? One board member was horrified of it, and the other was very, well, you know, we have to support LGBTQ students. They're more at risk for suicide. Basically, I heard these books are saving kids' lives, and I'm like, their sexual identity doesn't make it okay for you to still give them access to porn.
When you describe the reaction from one of the school board members, that I don't know what to say other than makes me angry. When you're talking about pornographic material that promotes pedophilia, inappropriate conduct between adults and children, pornographic conduct, the first response to any person in authority should be, there are certain things that are not acceptable in our public schools. There are certain messages that are not acceptable, certain things that we will not allow in, that breaches boundaries of civility and sexual standards, and quite frankly, the public trust that people have when parents entrust their kids to teachers and to administrators. They're trusting that things that are true and good and wholesome and right, things that lead to flourishing, are going to be promoted there, absolutely, not pornographic material. So how was your response when you heard from the one school board member that said that this is, we need to have these there to show our support for homosexual students?
Honestly, I was floored. I am the type of person that I believe that there's good in everybody, and that honestly, I just didn't think anybody knew what was in these books. Her response was basically, you know, I'm homophobic or a bigot, or, you know, she didn't call me those words and blatantly, but that's basically the message. So the other school board member did give me the process to dispute these books. So I started that process. That was an 8-month long process to get through. And at the end of it, there was only 2 schools that made it through that entire process. So
an 8-month process, was it just to get your name on a list to speak to the school board? Tell us about that, because I'm thinking right now, Miranda, that there are other parents that have kids in Kentucky schools that have discovered the same thing that you have, that there is either pornographic books in their library, or there's inappropriate curriculum in their child's school, and they want to know what they can do.
So the process, you start out with the principal of the school. You fill out a form, you list, you know, everything that you dispute about the book. If you have an alternative book, you can list that on there as well. And you give that to the principal, and then there was certain time frames from when you send that in. The principal has so long to respond to you, and then you can appeal each step along the way too. So it goes principal, SBDM for the school, or the school leadership team. School-based decision-making councils, sorry. Yes. There's 2 parents, 3 teachers, and then the principal is the chair. So it's not really well balanced. And what I've learned in the last few years since I've started digging into all this is that the SBDM councils are pretty picked. You know, it's interesting how those things work. I ran for SBDM for one of my children's schools and almost got it, but then they forgot to put a candidate on there, so we had to rerun, and then I lost.
So on this SBDM, this local elected body, they're responsible for curriculum?
They choose the curriculum. They set really the policies for the school at the school building level. So they have to follow, you know, district policies, but they have a little bit of freedom per school building. So every school building might be a little bit different on their policies.
So they would have some control over what books come into their library as well. Mm-hmm. And so you were interested in this SBDM.
Yes.
You approached them with your concerns, and how did that go? What was that like? I mean, I just want, as a parent, and in my thinking in this is for those parents, again, who might have a similar situation arise, I want them to learn from what you went through, and then also to maybe dispel any fears or anxiety that they might have. And you've gone through it already, so people can learn from you, Miranda. But what was that like approaching this local elected site-based decision-making council with your concerns?
You know, honestly, it was very nerve-wracking in the beginning, but it had to be done. And what I found was, again, I went into it like, they just don't know. Once they see this, they're going to say, oh my gosh, we're introducing children to this type of content, yes, let's pull it. I was surprised when the principals didn't pull it. And then when I got to the SBDM committees, I found the same thing again, that they were defending this. They were, and I'm just unbelievable.
Miranda, can I, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but do you think that I'm trying to get my mind around why those involved with decisions in public schools would somehow think that this is okay? Is it because they maybe no other parent pushed back for so long, or maybe they really were convinced that this is important material for LGBT identified youth? I mean, what? How do we begin? And maybe we don't even bother to begin there. But it just seems like a different universe.
It is a different universe. And I've asked myself this question. I still ask people this question anytime I see somebody defending this. I'm like, these are adults giving details in detail, graphic, visual, and verbal details of their private sexual encounters to minor children. I don't understand that. I can never understand that. And the only argument I can, or that they've given me, is that these books and these materials will save lives of LGBTQ children.
I do know this, that if I were to show some of those pictures on this program, because this program, by the way, for the listeners, we multi-purpose it, and it's on the Commonwealth Policy Center Facebook page. So some are hearing it through podcasts, some through radio, but some can see it. But if I were to show a picture from this book called Gender Queer, we could be in trouble for promoting pornography, for promoting inappropriate content. Big trouble. And yet, so here's my question. How can the schools not be in trouble for promoting this to young kids? If we would get an FCC violation or some other, look, there's statutes that, there's obscenity statutes, there's statutes that protect minors, contributing to the delinquency of minors. There's a number of things that would prohibit us.
There is an obscenity exemption for public schools and libraries. I believe that was meant for like anatomy books, truly educational things. So the educational exemption has been hijacked now and is used as a loophole to introduce all of this over-sexualization of children, I think, in our public schools.
And yet, at least on the SBDM that you approached, all that they could say is that because we have these books, we're contributing to the health of LGBT students, or there will be less suicides. That seems like a big leap, going from pornography and the promotion of illicit activity for minors to what's saving lives. I don't see the connection there, but did anybody try to explain that to you?
No, I've never gotten any answers. In fact, back in March of 2022, I believe, I went to the school board and I read some of these books at the school board meeting, and I was shut down by school board member Corey Scholl for being obscene. But I had handed them a list of questions I would like answered, because, and even if we have teens that are identifying as LGBTQ, they're still children. We still, as adults, we still don't hand them pornography. Or I wouldn't think that you do. And I don't know if their parents would either. So it's just not really the school's place.
So you started to read one of the books that were available in the middle school, and one of the school board members, as you were reading this, shut you down.
Yes. And I was actually very thankful to be shut down, because I really did not want to keep reading that for three minutes. Yeah. So, but that was my point. He made my point exactly, is that was obscene. Yes. And it's in your libraries for... And at that point, I had already reached out to several principals, school board members, even Dr. Polio. I tried to reach out to Dr. Polio and get a meeting with him, and just so we could discuss this. And I was never even answered on that one.
So you were shut down at the school board meeting, but it didn't stop there. So what was the next step?
So I went all the way through with all the SBDMs. And remember, I started with 8 schools when I first started this process. 8 schools had Gender Queer. So by the time I got through the SBDMs, the middle schools did say, okay, yes, we're taking it off of our shelves. I was like, okay. But we look at high school students, and my argument was, when my daughter goes to high school next year, she will only be 14 years old. Uh-uh. She's nowhere near ready to see anything close to that content. So I continued with the 4 high schools, and I ended up ultimately at the district level SBDM Board of Appeals, which was the final step to get to. We had a little trial thing. I had to have a lawyer with me to help me with that process. So, and that was the end of it. And they voted unanimously to keep the books on the shelves at the very end after 8 months.
Hi, Richard Nelson here, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. So glad that you're listening to the Commonwealth Matters program, where we tackle tough issues from a biblical worldview. If you're enjoying these programs, then I've got a couple of requests for you. Could you please tell your friends about us? That's one of the best ways that we can increase listenership and help others to think biblically about the political and social issues of the day. If you'd like to catch the longer version of the program, then go to your favorite podcast platform and subscribe. And while you're there, could you please rate us? This is a good way to bring attention to what we're doing here at the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you again for listening to the Commonwealth Matters, and may God bless you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Miranda Stovall, a Louisville parent who learned about a pornographic book and really books in the middle school there. And her story as to what she did to remove those books. Miranda, I'm shocked that the site-based decision-making council would somehow, and all of them, would vote to keep these books in. I don't understand how that happens. I don't understand the thought process. I don't understand how they think that any of this material that they could imagine that it promotes the good, the true, the beautiful in a child's education. So what did you do after that, after the SBDM voted to keep the books in all of the middle schools?
It did not end there. So I did take a nice little break and tried to reset myself, gather my thoughts. I tried to come with terms that there are adults that are defending this for children. I don't think I'll ever come to terms with that, but I decided, okay, what else can I do? Well, let's go to the legislature. So I went to Frankfurt. I heard that there was a bill coming up, SB5, which shortens the process for parents. So it's not anything like what I went through anymore. But the fact is that SB5 doesn't fix the problem. It's not a solution to the problem. It's just a better process for parents to go through.
Sure. So Senate Bill 5 was introduced by State Senator Lindsay Titchener, and she was the candidate that I told you about who brought this to our attention, that flyer with the call to action to parents that actually explained and showed what was made available to the middle schools there in Louisville. She did get elected, and she did lead on this bill, Senate Bill 5, that gave recourse for parents and expedited the process as well.
I think when Lindsay had it, it was a little bit stronger of a bill. I'm not going to pretend to know how things work in Frankfurt, but it ended up, it's a decent bill, and it ends with holding our school board members accountable, which JCPS school board members were not held accountable at the end of my process. So they got to, you know, pass that off to somebody else. So I do like the bill. I did advocate for the bill heavily.
As I recall, one of the provisions that was a sticking point for legislators was the part about educational anatomy, teaching biological anatomy compared to pornography, and they couldn't sort that out. For some reason there was they didn't have the right language, and I don't know if they had an answer as to what the right language was. I think if you and I were sponsoring that bill, or if we were on the SBDM, we would know that pornography shouldn't be allowed in the schools. Yeah. It'd be that simple, yes, right? Yes. We shouldn't have to have a law. There is this element of free speech and of true education. And we'd agree, though, that pornography in the schools is neither. So SB5 is the law right now, and it makes it easier for parents to engage and to have their voices heard. What did you find in the process, though? Did other parents begin to get involved? Did you connect with other parents in your almost year?
I did. Actually, before I went to the to testify in Frankfurt for SB5, I did expand my search to outside of Jefferson County. So across the state, I started looking for these books in other school districts across our state. And there was a lot that I found. And I...
So rural Kentucky?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you think parents are aware that these books are there?
I did my best to make parents aware in those communities that those books are there. I think that a lot of parents started questioning their school districts. I do think that there was a few that removed books quietly, which is great.
I'm just curious about the rural parts of the state, because we think of rural Kentucky as being conservative, right? Mm-hmm. Traditional values, and I think a lot of parents would be shocked to learn that there's material and curriculum. It's not just the books, but there's curriculum that's controversial as well. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a minute. But did you see parents coming out of the woodwork in other parts of the state, though, when you brought this to their attention?
Yes.
Miranda, the state legislature last year in the 2022 General Assembly session essentially banned what is known as CRT, critical race theory, which was a revisionist history, which was divisive, and they got rid of that and emphasized the teaching of America's founding documents, not just our founding documents, but important letters and important figures who shaped our history. So there's this real struggle we see as to what's appropriate, what should be taught, what shouldn't be taught. But really, there's a struggle for the hearts and minds of our kids, because this battle over LGBT promotion and pornographic promotion in the schools, it's a much bigger battle than just that, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So is this what led to you starting being a co-founder for Freedom in Education?
Yes. It just got very daunting to sit in a room full of parents and tell them everything that's wrong. And walk out the room and say, okay, well, now you know. So Freedom in Education is very solution-oriented. We want to find the solutions, not necessarily right or left, but it just needs to be, let's get back to common sense. Let's get back to educating our children. They need to learn to read, write, use math correctly, and know the founding of our country, you know? Good, bad, and ugly.
So that shouldn't be controversial.
No, right? I don't think that it should be.
The idea of public education is to educate.
Yes.
Right? So absolutely. Kids know the basics, reading, writing, math, like you said. Civics education, that's a big part of freedom in education. Are you finding, first of all, tell us who else is part of your organization? And do you have a board?
Yes. So there is myself and Beanie Gohagan here in Kentucky. And then our other team members are in Georgia. We have Melissa Jackson as our president. We have CEO Castro and April Dukes and Holly Ture.
So you're a national organization?
We are national, yes.
So what are some of the things that you're doing at Freedom in Education?
We are, of course, our civics education is a big thing. We have partnered with Civics Alliance and the American Birthright Standards. We are hoping that states will either adopt those standards or they will use them as a guide to when they go to revise their standards. They're very centrist. They're not left. They're not right. They are just kind of like the bill you mentioned, founding documents and how to use those founding documents to teach the class. We've also been building a teacher coalition, and we've got teachers helping us write lesson plans for those standards. So it'll all be done for teachers. You know, we don't want to make things harder on teachers. We want them to come along with us and help with this process. So.
Miranda, are you finding that more and more parents are interested in getting involved with their public schools, whether it's just being present at school board meetings or present in understanding their child's curriculum, or maybe even running for office, running for school board? Are you seeing there's more interest out there?
I am. I'm seeing that parents are rising up out of their comfort zones and doing things that they never thought they would do before. And it's amazing to be a part of that and see that and be there to help people.
So obviously you took a step, you formed this group called Freedom in Education. You're inspiring others to be involved. What would you say to the parent who isn't sure where to start? Maybe they learned, or they're just concerned. They're just, I'm wondering if this book is in my kids' library or what kind of curriculum they have. What would you recommend to that parent, that mom who has this concern and really has been not involved?
I would tell her that, you know, just be involved. Start out at your school. Talk to your children. Check their work. You know, it's what parents should be doing anyways. But and go to the school and talk to your child's teacher. You know, look into things. Go to every event that you can at the school. And if you start seeing things that you disagree with, just start a conversation. You know, it doesn't have to be burn it down. Let's, you know, just start a conversation. Freedom in Education has a very wide parental toolkit on our website that offers parents tools that they may need to complete some of these processes, or how to start a conversation, or how to send an email to your principal. I've helped parents just draft an email and send it to their teacher or principal, just because it is new and scary if you're learning some of this stuff for the first time. And
Miranda, that's a great resource for parents. You're showing them how to. Here's what you can do. Here's a sample email, or here are some pointers when you're first meeting with them. And I think this is so helpful, because often we are isolated. We have our own worlds. And even I'm thinking parents with kids, we're working, or we have other kids that we're raising, and we're segregated and isolated. But what you're doing is you're providing ideas, mm-hmm. and suggestions of here's how you can start.
Yes.
And here's what you can do. And I'm inspired by you in particular, because you are one person who's made a difference. You took a stand when you learned about what was going on in Louisville middle schools, and you brought to light something that was inappropriate and wrong. And your actions led to Senate Bill 5 being introduced and passing into law. It's led to Freedom in Education, this organization that's helping other parents, and perhaps you're inspiring parents to run for school board. How can somebody be involved with Freedom in Education?
So again, on our website, freedomined.org, we do have a Get Involved button. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media. I'm pretty sure we have all of it. We're very responsive. You can send us emails. I'm very happy to jump in and help however that I can. And I actually like when people reach out to me and I can help them.
That's great. Miranda Stovall, it's been great to have you here. I appreciate the work that you're doing with Freedom in Education. Thank you for taking the stand that you have, and God bless you.